Los Angeles. You're now tuned into Slauson Girl Speaks
with award-winning journalist and South Central native, Slauson Girl.
This is a safe space.
Yeah!
Celebrating authentic black expression.
Where Slauson Girl dives deep
into Los Angeles history,
politics, and news.
While discussing culture, race, and identity with carefully curated guests
to keep you open-minded in today's society.
No cap.
Follow Slauson Girl on all social media platforms and stream Slauson Girl Speaks on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
You don't want to miss this.
Welcome to Slauson Girl Speaks. I am your host, Slauson Girl, bringing you world news with a South Central state of mind. So, on today's episode, I have the pleasure of speaking with Eric from Public Statement Apparel. He is a businessman and a native of Los Angeles.
Yeah, Los Angeles, yeah.
And basically, we're here today because of a video that I saw online of Eric that just blew me away, because it was pretty much spot on with things that I think about in regards to a lot of the unrest that have been happening across the U.S. with the protests that are all about pretty much you know,
yeah,
as a black man. And so I want to play a clip of the video, and then we'll come back and kind of just discuss with Eric about it. So, yeah.
Let's do it.
What do you think about defunding the police?
I'm gonna be real with you, bro. I wouldn't give a fuck about defunding the police or calling the police. I don't care about none of that shit. All I care about is black empowerment. Understand something. Everybody's talking about overthrowing the government, all that shit. They ain't overthrown the government the last 400 years. So what we gotta do? We gotta live within their community. We gotta live within their justice system, their socialized system. So what we gonna do? We need to, in order for us to be empowered, there has to be a black dollar. There ain't no black power without no black dollar. Until we spending black, we buying black, there ain't gonna be no money. It's gonna be the same scene every week, every goddamn week. Until there's some motherfucking change within the black community to get some motherfucking money. Let's be straight up. Let's be clear, man. All these white folks out here about a dead nigga. But the minute a nigga talking about, hey, come spend with me while I'm living, oh, they doing what I'm doing right now, they turn away. Or they act like I'm a radical then, because they don't want to dig in their pocket. Hey, y'all better dig in your motherfucking pocket and start spending black around this bitch. That's the only way we can go ahead and create something within ourselves, so we ain't got to worry about these white man's dollars and these white man programs. I'm tired of my niggas asking the white man to do something for us that we can do for our goddamn self. We can police ourselves.
I mean, I watched the video, especially when you brought it up to my attention. I actually remember the dude. I remember the dude throughout the night. I'm pretty good at remembering faces, no names, just faces. So I'll never forget a face. So when I was able to remember exactly who that guy was and what his position was, I realized, like, wow, this dude is out here really trying to exploit. This is after the fact, right? I was in my emotions at the time.
But no, he ran into a real...
Yeah, he ran into a real one.
That was going to say some, you know?
Yeah.
So that actually brings me to something that I was thinking about in terms of, like, you know, we're so quick to kind of just denounce people for their opposing views. This guy, actually, I think that he's actually cooning, though. You feel me? Because I think there's a point of having an opposing view, but then out here selling yourself, right?
Exploiting
yourself, because you know that this opposing view is not the norm, right?
Right.
And so with some of the Trump supporters that are black, I kind of see that they have built a huge social media following based off the fact of them being Trump supporters. So with this guy, you know, although he was cooning and he's a Trump supporter, yeah, out here in L.A., he showed up to the protest, mm-hmm, in Los Angeles with his camera, you know, to exploit it to all his 100,000 of subscribers on YouTube. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm siphoning through this because I'm like, well, at the end of the day, he was there. You feel me? Yeah. And I need to see what he saw through his camera. And so by me looking at this, I happened to run across your interview. And so let's talk a little bit about the black dollar, because that was kind of one of the main things that you were touching on. You was like, you know, there can't be no black empowerment without a black dollar.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I mean, for me, going out here and experiencing and witnessing all these different protests, these different movements, because all of them aren't BLM, all of them aren't black led, all of them aren't for black people. Per se, especially these Trump Pence out now protests that are led by, I'm assuming, Democrats, or they're led by white people, though. I know that they're definitely led by white people. And it's funny because my main question to them is, what happens after? Right. So after Trump Pence out now, right. What's next? And they came to me with a big, crazy, long, drawn out plan of how they're going to overthrow the government. I'm looking at them like, listen, they haven't overthrown the government in the last 400 years.
Right.
So what do you think is going to happen when you try to overthrow this government? It's not going to happen. And we're in a state of emergency as black people right now today. So mm-hmm. you're talking about something months, years down the line. And that makes no sense. It makes no sense because we're in trouble today. So, you know, I left it with that. But when we talk about this black dollar, black power thing, that's the thing that really matters, because if you look at it historically, let's look at some of the most powerful people in America. Let's look at the Jewish community. A lot of people don't want to talk about that, but and I'm not anti-Semitic at all whatsoever. However, I do recognize that they had a game plan. They executed the game plan. And now you see their position in America today. I think that as black people, we should be taking notes from Jewish people.
That part.
And learning exactly what they did, how they did it, and executing expertly, period.
I agree. And so one of the main things that they're executed perfectly is group economics.
Yes, yes. So when you're talking about group economics and you're talking about the dollar being spent within your own community, right? So they have numbers on this stuff. They said that the Latin community spends the white community spends 4 to 5 times their money runs through each other's hands. The Latin community, just a little bit more, about 2-3 more times. So about 6 to 8 times. The Asian community, 10 to 12. The Jewish community, though, 18 to 20 times they pass their money around between each other. So, yeah, we have to first create entrepreneurs, right? Because there's not enough black entrepreneurs out there. And then after that, then we have to support those black entrepreneurs. And that's what I'm doing right now as a black entrepreneur out here in these streets. I don't have a store. I don't go online and Facebook market. I don't do none of that. What I do is I show you my face. I'm on these street corners at these protests. I'll be out tonight at Staples Center. I have no L.A. Laker gear, but I'll be out there speaking my mind about Black Lives Matter. And let's not forget that.
So what does that mean to you, Black Lives Matter? What does that statement mean to you? What comes to mind when you see, you know, this statement today?
I mean, it's been politicized. It's been radicalized. People have taken it the banner up in their own name and done their own thing with it, and have soiled and dirtied the name that is, or the mantra that is, Black Lives Matter. So for me, what it means is exactly what it says. Black Lives Matter. They don't matter any more than anybody else. We just matter because it's so clear through economics, through the justice system, through the social system, every system that we have here established in America, that we are treated as second class, period. The only time that we're revered ever is when we sing in a song, dancing on a stage, or playing basketball, entertaining you white folks.
That's funny. I was just listening to that song Kenny Lofton by J. Cole.
Randy. Yeah.
But okay, definitely. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, you mentioned you'd be out here at the protest. And what do you have? You have your brand, Public Statement Apparel.
Yeah, so I created Public Statement Apparel after my first protest. So when I went to the first protest that was out there in Hollywood, that had 100,000 some people out there.
Mm-hmm.
I was out there. And it was my first protest that I've ever attended in my life, right? So I go out there, and I'm expecting to see, like, the Nation of Islam, the Million Man March. I might see Farrakhan out there talking. That's what I was expecting, right? But what I saw was one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen in my life. I've seen blue, green, gray, white, brown, pink, homosexuals, transsexuals, transgender, all kinds of stuff. Mm. And they all were saying the same thing. Black lives matter. Mm. And that shocked me, right? Because that's the first time that I've ever seen anything like that. And the majority of the world has ever seen anything like that. That all races, groups, color, creeds, economic situations, they all came together and they all said the same thing when they stood up for justice, right?
Especially in LA.
Especially in LA.
Which is a de facto segregated city.
Yes. So when I saw something like that, I was taken aback. I was really caught up emotionally, and I really thought it was a really cool situation, right? Just to see something like that and to witness something like that and to be a part of something like that. But what I didn't see, and the business mind kicked in, right? So what I didn't see is anybody having any merch, no shirt sales, no nothing. And, you know, when Nipsey Hussle passed away, God rest his soul, there was Nipsey shirts everywhere, all over. I'm talking about everybody was selling them. Mm. People that ain't never heard his song before were selling them. Ain't that something? Mm. And Nipsey Hussle family didn't get none of that money. But I ain't even going to get into that right yet, right? We ain't even going to talk about that. But again, with Kobe, same thing. Right, they come out in the droves. I don't know how they produce a shirt so fast. I'm talking about Chadwick Boseman died, and the next 2 hours they got a shirt. I'm talking about graphic art. Artists done drew it up and everything. Screen print. It looks nice. How did you do that?
That's America.
And have it on the rack. You know what I'm saying? So people really will capitalize, especially on tragedies,
especially on Black Death.
Yes, tragedies, Black Death, all the time. Yeah. It happens every time. Okay. So, with that being said, when I seen there was no Black Lives Matter merch, I was like, whoa, wait a minute. And I told my wife, and I said, wait a minute, do you see this? And at the time, this is during COVID, my wife lost her job. Mm. I was doing something at the end of Santa Monica Pier. Some of them know, some of them don't. Mm. I was doing my work, and I lost my work because they closed the Santa Monica Pier down, so we had no income. Mm. So, when I seen that there was no shirts, I was like, wait a minute, I think there's an opportunity here. And I was like, okay, let me see if I can come out here tomorrow and see what happens. Let me see if there's any shirt people out here. I want to buy a shirt. Mm-hmm. I want a Black Lives Matter shirt. No shirt people. And I was like, huh, that's interesting. So I went ahead, went home, came up with $511, and I produced 108 shirts. And the next thing you know, and I sat on the couch for 3 minutes, my wife saying, what are you going to call your brand? Like, what are you going to call it? I was like, I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to call it. And next thing you know, I looked at her crazy wide. I kind of like, I'm looking at you. I was like, I got it. She says, what? And I says, I'm just a Black man making another PSA, public statement apparel. Mm,
I love it.
And that was it.
That's dope. That's dope. That's what's up.
So that took about 3 minutes to happen. And then after that, it's all godsend. I really believe, I strongly believe that it's godsend, that this is something that I was meant to do, that I was born to do. I never thought that I'm 6'6", 260 pounds. Like, I'm supposed to be on somebody's football, basketball team. I'm supposed to be beating up somebody in the UFC. Yeah, I'm supposed to be doing something.
Right.
Right? But no, I'm out here selling shirts like Baby Boy, you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we out here, and that's just my thing. And I've expanded not just from shirts. I'm starting to empower and invest back into my community. I just don't talk that shit. I practice that shit. Mm. So I'm interested in investing into young entrepreneurs. Especially young Black entrepreneurs at that, to put them on the platform and to get them ahead in life and give them opportunities. So that's what I'm actually in the middle of doing right now as we speak.
Definitely. I like that. So let's talk a little bit about something that you mentioned, you know, going to the protests in LA and how, you know, we're protesting about Black lives, but a lot of the protests were kind of like white led. So can you kind of just paint the picture for us over the last few months, what you have seen out on the streets in L.A., going to various different protests during different times of the day, mostly at night? Like, what are you seeing out there on the streets? You know, people have been they have been contentious, basically. You know, yeah. they've been very standoffish with the police. You know, we appreciate the allyship and the people that are, you know, out there, regardless of race, saying, look, this is unacceptable, you know. Mm-hmm. Within that, though, as students of history, as Black people who are aware of the ways in which movements have been infiltrated historically, specifically Black organizations or even different organizations that were anti-government, you know, in the 60s and stuff like that. So with that perspective, you know, I'm just, my view's a little different, you know, I'm looking at things a little differently. But, you know, for somebody that's been out there continuously, what have you seen?
I mean, it's, what I've seen is a lot of emotion. When you're in your emotions, you can't think, right? Mm-hmm. So especially when you have these organizers that are 19, 20, 21, barely old enough to drink, right? Mm-hmm. But they're leading a 400, 500, 6, 7, 1,000 people protest, right? At the front, right? Every time they say something, Black lives, they matter. Here in the background, 1,000 people echoing.
That's commendable. We want to note.
But let's hold on there, right? Then they take the right. Let's go right. Let's just figure it out. Let's go right. That's where we're going to march to next. Everybody follows 1,000 people. They in their emotions, right? Follow me now. So they still in their emotions. Let's take a left here. Now their ego getting big now. You remember they 19, 20, they ain't never been nowhere. And now all of a sudden they got 1,000 people following them, saying whatever they want them to say and doing whatever they want them to do.
In the name of Black lives.
Though. In the name of Black lives, right? But then that ego go to tripping. Then they start thinking, well, I'm upset because I got these police over here trying to get in my way and I want to go that way. Or I want to go and I want to antagonize the police. Fuck the police, right? And I'm all for that. But the problem is that you lead these people, these 1,000 people that are out here for a peaceful protest, just want to say Black Lives Matter, go to work, go home to the kids, whatever they want to do, cook dinner. These people are being led straight into hell and straight into handcuffs, which is feeding the beast.
Let's talk a little bit about that, you know, because we discussed that and I thought that was a very important, you know, something very important to note. The arrests that have been happening, you know, we appreciate people being out here to tell the police, like, we're not going for this state sanction violence and you murdering citizens out here. But it seems a little like ironic to be arrested. As a Black woman, I say the worst place for me ever to be is in a white man's jail.
You period. Hear
me? So that's, I'm trying to avoid that at all cost. Mm. So to see people out here being arrested for protesting, it just kind of seems like, what can we do to, like, avoid all that, you know?
people out there that are out there repeatedly getting arrested at the state that this protests are in right now, whoever's out there is out there to get arrested. Let's just be honest, right? Especially these 8-9 o'clock protests. They're out there to be arrested. I've seen it. I've talked to them. Matter of fact, last two weeks ago, we've had a string. Night after now, I'm pretty sure you remember Wednesday night, the night of the day of the decision of Breonna Taylor. They went ahead and protested in LA that night. That night I was out there. That night we had somebody try to hit a protester. I was able to stop it. Then I turned right back around and there's a protester with a hammer in his hand trying to break some glass, and he's not Black. Hmm. Okay, and I walk up on him. I say, hey man, what you doing? Because I'm thinking. Right, all these Black women, Black men, all these other people that are out here for peaceful protest. Breonna Taylor's family asked all the general public, please make sure that this is a peaceful protest, right? So you must respect that at least, at the bare minimum. If they say set it off, well then fuck it, burn this shit down, right? But if they say we want a peaceful protest in the name of Breonna Taylor, you better respect her and her family.
That part.
So when I saw that and I said, hey, I didn't beat dude up. I'm 6'6", 260. I know what to do with my hands. And when I told dude, hey, let me get that. And he looked at me. His white boy looked at me and told me, nope. Mm. And then turned his back on me and started walking away. He didn't run. He just walked nonchalantly like I wasn't about to do nothing to him. Like my words didn't matter. Don't you know he got choked out 3 times until he gave me everything he had. See, this is LA, people. This ain't Wichita, Kansas. This ain't Orlando, Florida. This ain't Tupelo, Mississippi. This is L fucking A. Y'all forget, we started this riot shit. We the trendsetters when it comes to civil unrest
in our community. In
period, this is what we do. We started this shit. So I mean, you can go back to the Watts riots, 92 riots. Y'all remember the white boy getting hit in the face with a brick and snatched out of, y'all remember this shit? We started that. Yeah. So you think there's no repercussions and ramifications for when you go out here and try to endanger black people in the name of black lives? You think there's no ramifications? You think you ain't about to get that ass whooped? I'm going to show you.
Okay. So look, I recently realized the reason why, you know, first let me set this up. I appreciate the allies. I appreciate people who are, you know, no matter where you are in your journey of realizing what America is and what it represents and what it has done historically to people of color, black people specifically, right? You know, even if you just started coming out 3 months ago, you know, I respect all that. But I realized what the triggering point is for me is that with the white-led and centered protest, it's like we're forgetting historically that black people have been the leaders of challenging this system in America. Like, we've laid the blueprint, right? Especially if we out here, like, we're not talking about America in general that we're upset with. We're out here talking about it specifically for black lives. So within that, I think no white person should be out here creating flyers with black people's image on it, talking about come out and protest. Like,
yes.
If you feel so convinced to do that, you better find in your arsenal of friends that one black person that you know to work with them to figure it out.
I think we out here marching on GP, to be honest. We out here protesting on GP. I'm all for protesting. If something hit the fan and we need to go ahead and take up these streets, I'm all for that shit. But right now, they marching on a daily basis on GP, straight up.
Well, I mean, some would argue, well, what's wrong with that?
Those resources, all that money, because you don't realize what it all takes to go ahead and protest, right? So it takes a lot. There's a lot of money, resources involved. People are bringing out water, food, snacks, drinks. There's a police presence. People can potentially go to jail.
That part.
All this stuff that goes on. There's a lot of resources. How about you just support a black man?
And these are networks that are ran and led by white people.
Period. You know, I did not. These Armenians, the Armenians just shut down the 101 just this last weekend. They shut it down. I did not see not one white, black, brown, nobody in there. Why? How come does every time a black person has an issue, white people and everybody else, we have to be all inclusive to everybody?
Right. They come in co-op.
I'm talking about, yeah. Why?
Whoa, that's deep.
That's for real. Why? I'm going to give you another one. I'll give you something very simple. The Santee Alley, downtown LA. When was the last time you saw a black man selling a mixtape on the corner? Never. Not never. February 31st. Yeah. That's what's going on. You don't see that. We don't intrude on everybody else, but everybody wants to intrude on us. It's no beef. We just want to handle our own. Like, let us do what we do. We were successful in 1964 with the civil rights movement. There was no other army. There was no brown or white people. Matter of fact, y'all wasn't even living in this country. The reason why y'all live in this country so comfortable is because of the civil rights movement.
True, but we should note, though, that the civil rights movement was, you know, it started, you know, kind of like in the black community with, you know, like the Montgomery bus boycotts, which was definitely a black centered and led movement and stuff like that. Right. But when we talk about like that national civil rights struggle and, you know, when it progressed, it was a more inclusive movement thanks to people like Dr. King. You know, maybe if it was led by somebody.
Dr. King is the one that led it and he allowed that to happen. Right. He was thinking for everybody. Remember when he said he had a dream, little white boys and little black girls, and everybody was together.
We actually accomplished his dream, though. Like, not accomplished it per se 100%. But, you know, I went to college and I was able to have like white friends and, you know, go to their house and things like that. And so just being a girl from the inner city and having that experience, that made me reflect a little bit, like, okay, like, you know, in the 60s, like, it was way more restraints and we weren't as freely able to do that. Or, you know, the 50s, the 40s, like, you know, right. In the 60s, it got better. But I do want to note that there have been allies, quote unquote, to the black community. Mm-hmm. But within that, there's a level of control, I feel like, that's been historically there. Like, you know, we're not 100% in control of our own destiny because we have allowed allies and all this stuff to basically domineer, like, our issues and our movement. We so focused on everybody instead of black first, you know.
We ain't got first of all, we ain't even got no leader. Like, right now, any past civil rights major movement, it was led by somebody. One figure now. You can look at them. MLKs, Malcolm X's, Angela Davis's, Marcus Garvey.
Right.
Huey Newton. All these people, these are leaders.
Right.
And they people followed them. Right now in the Black Lives Matter movement, who's the leader? Name me one, please.
Well, some will say that, you know, decentralized leadership is a thing and it's important.
I think that we need a leader because without a leader, you have too many agendas. There's way too many agendas. Everybody thinks that this is more important than that. This is more important than that. That's more important than this. And they're arguing over each other. If you go to the Jackie Lacey protest downtown on Wednesdays, you will watch and witness. And it happened once again, just 2 days ago. I was there. It happened where you saw two black marches, right? Two black leaders, and they're fighting over who's going to march with them. Right? So they're fighting over these white folks. And then after they got, I saw one of them. He got 12 people together. He got a little baker's dozen, him and 13.
You silly.
Yeah, you got him 12 of them. And I watched them. If you go downtown right now, right in front of City Hall, there's a park and there's a gate all the way around the park. Don't you know that I watched him, right? I told you about the NASCAR thing. They like to take nothing but lefts. Nothing but lefts. I watched him take a left off of where the protest was and do a circle. Mind you, the police are in front of the police station watching this. He walks inside the gated park and starts marching around the park. Now, don't you know there's a gate around it? Don't you know y'all are trapped right now? All somebody has to do is close the gate and lock it. Mm-hmm. Y'all just walked into a prison y'all self. This is how stupid people are. And they're leading people right into hell.
So organizing, you know, I made a post on my page a couple days ago or sometime this week that, you know, some of the protesters in L.A. didn't like, you feel me? But at the end of the day, if you triggered over a black woman's opinion and you out here protesting for black lives as opposed to asking her what she means by that, I think you need to ask yourself why that is. But anyways, I
want to stop,
you know,
right there. Hold on. I want to stop. I want to address that. Let me talk to these people, Tom. I'm going to talk to them now.
Okay.
These folks out here talking that shit to somebody that's out here in this movement, just because they don't see your face, right? Just because they don't know who you are, doesn't mean that you ain't out there, right? Especially with what you got going on. I'm talking about you got platforms. You got thousands upon thousands of followers, right? And your voice is heard. These people are out here keyboard warriors now. I'm talking about Twitter fingers going ham. That's what they do. But then when you see them in their face, because I'll address somebody in their face. Hey, if whatever I say right here today on this show, I swear to God, I live like that for real. This is not just a show. I am me. I am the real fucking deal. So when I say I better not catch nobody out there, I'm gonna whoop that ass. I'm gonna whoop that ass. I'm dead serious. I'm so serious. Y'all better check my resume. They got so many videos of me getting on ass and address. Matter of fact, there's a video in the video that you found me in. Yeah, they see me addressing the police and addressing Antifa because they thought they was going to tear up a black neighborhood. No, they went out here. I ain't never seen so many. There was more white folks than there were neighbors that lived there. Ain't that something? And they all came down here with the black flag, black mask. I'm throwing you. All you can see is pupils. You can't even see their eyes. You just see the color of their eyes. Blue, green, gray. I know you ain't no niggas unless you got contacts on. Y'all better cut that shit out. And they want to come out here with their black flag, Antifa flag, anarchy flags, and think they about to tear up and sprit and upset the police. Mind you, DeJohn Kizzy's body still in the street bleeding for 8 hours, right? And they gonna come out here and think they about to upset the police and fuck the police and have them pepper spray and tear gas my black kings and queens. You got me fucked up. So I addressed it. And I wish the motherfucker would. I really do. I swear to God. They better give their life over to God because their ass gonna belong to me.
Okay, and that's on period. So basically, you know, going back to like, we have seen what has happened to our people, black people that have been organizing, you know, even, you know, non-black people, POC folks that were organizing in the 60s were infiltrated, you know, by COINTELPRO. Like, this is a real historic fact that if you out here talking about you anti-government, you need to know the ins and outs of what that is. And I feel like that's a lot of people haven't done their homework or their education. Nope. And it's kind of like, I'm telling you, I appreciate you being out there, but if you not, you have a little bit of homework to do, and I can provide some resources. I'm gonna start doing that, you know, because I don't want people to feel
a lot.
They
got a lot. They need to go watch Out of Darkness, man, on Amazon Prime. Y'all can start right there. Out of Darkness on Amazon Prime.
I know you told me about that. This just came to my mind. The Black Power mixtape. Yeah, I need to watch that. You feel me? Shout out to the Swedish folks who, you know, compiled all of that. But the way that they laid it out, you know, I think that's a great reference for anybody that wants to be organizing specifically around black, you know, oppression in America. The Black Power mixtape, you were saying, Out of Darkness.
Yeah, Out of Darkness on Amazon Prime. It's a 3-hour documentary now. Umar Johnson, a lot of black scholars are in there, and they go to telling the truth now. They go to telling true history, and black history didn't start at slavery. Let's just be clear.
That part, see? Yeah, exactly.
So
yeah,
we can get into it, but you know, but just go watch. I highly suggest, before any white person, any brown, if you're non-black, and all black people, it's a must watch. It's just as much of a must watch as Friday, as Training Day, as all these other hood movies, classics, Set It Off, all that. You must watch Out of Darkness on Amazon Prime. Education of self. Learn something about yourself. After you learn something about yourself, I promise you, you'll sound a little bit like me. And my homegirl right here, Slauson girl, I promise you.
And you know, we're all, you know, evolving, you know, in our journey of trying to understand life. You know, the man that, what is that saying? The man that knows that he knows nothing at all, or something like that, you know. But at the end of the day, like, you have to be open to the knowledge and information. And I just like history, so it comes natural, right? So look, I just want to ask you, what would you like to see as a black man in terms of justice and overall for like blacks in Los Angeles and blacks in America, like moving forward, you know, with all of the civil unrest that's been happening, all of the conversations around black men, they don't say it, you know, but that's really who we talking about, black men. As a black man, what would you like to see for the justice system for us and just for blacks in LA moving forward?
I'll go back. It goes back to the same beginning topic. There is no black power without the black dollar. I strongly believe, let's look at it like this, right? I like to use this as an example. If Jeff Bezos is black, right, and he owned Amazon Prime, or Amazon, and he said, hey, you know what? I'm sick of this shit. I'm sick of y'all treating my people like this. So here's what we're going to do, right? Since Amazon is such a sewn into the fabric of America, I'm going to take $20 billion out of $200 billion, right? I'm going to take 20 of it, and I'm just going to put it into the black. I'm just going to pump it right in the black community. We're going to go ahead and come up with all kinds of programs that a black man started, right? That these aren't white dollars. These are black dollars, right? So let's be very clear. So you don't get to tell us how we do this program and who we let in and who we don't, right? So yeah, if Jeff Bezos is black and he pumped $20 billion into that, and then he said, right, then he told the government, hey, you motherfuckers that love this Amazon Prime all this much, right? Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to cut Amazon off. I'm going to stop it right now unless we get some justice behind Breonna Taylor, behind George Floyd. As a matter of fact, let's change some laws for black people altogether, right? Let's just go ahead and just change some shit, or I'm cutting this shit off. I quit. Fuck it. If he did that right now, do you know that the laws would be changed tomorrow just so they can get they package on Monday?
Right, they production.
That shit would happen tomorrow. There is no black power until there's black dollar. Until we can get some black dollars within the justice system to make legislation change, ain't shit about to change for a nigga. We about to still see there's a new nigga, Texas. Y'all see this new, I'm talking about, they killing paramedics in Breonna Taylor. They killing personal trainers and motivational speakers in Texas. And that brother Price that just died for breaking up a domestic dispute. He seen somebody, a woman getting beat, protect women, and then he gets shot. How the fuck that go down?
You know, when I try to understand, you know, like, okay, we see what's happening. We know that this is a racist system, but like, why is this happening? You know, someone that comes to mind often is our ancestor, Frances Cress Welsing, right? Who she was a psychologist, and she was, you know, black people were coming to her, and a lot of them were stressed out in the workplace, you know, and she began to, you know, look at her work and as a psychologist from the black experience. And basically she came up with her theory, which could be read in the ISIS papers, and basically say that the reason why black people continue to catch hell like this continuously is for white genetic survival. You feel me? And I remember that it kind of became clear to me because I was learning about her, and then I was also having a science class at the same time, and we had to do some kind of little experiment about natural selection or something, dominant genes, something, and you get phased out over time, something. And I really began to like realize what I feel like her theory, you know, was saying. It's just like black people are in this state, and our men continue to be hunted like this, bloodlines cut off, our black men funneled through the prison industrial complex. It is, I think it's definitely for to uphold the system. White genetic survival is to make sure that there is fear of a black planet, basically.
What do you mean fear of a black planet? They're the minority. Not see, the white people have colonized the entire world. Mm-hmm. In every shape and fashion, anything of power is ran by whites.
But look, if they're the minority, my thing is like, you know, all the time, like, okay, like I hate that this is happening to black people, but as like, you know, the art of war, you feel me? Like, this is terrible what black people are going through, but the way that these motherfuckers have created their goddamn global fucking takeover should be noted, though. Like, what is it about white people, if they're such a minority, that they have been able to corner the fucking world and colonize the world?
Right. They trickery. They one of the slickest, smooth talkingest, devilish. I'm talking about tell lies and all. Look at, just watch Donald Trump. Just watch him talk. Just watch him talk. This cracker,
the world.
Man, this cracker just got sick and is about to have a rally. This cracker about to really do that. He about to get some more people sick. And the whole White House sick right now. Everybody got the coronavirus. Everybody deserve every last bit of for not wearing a mask. I swear to God. But away from that, right? They've achieved colonizing the world. You know the word I'm saying.
Mm-hmm, colonizing.
But, There it is. But the reality of it is that they're the minorities within the world. That's the last thing that they have to colonize is the gene pool. Because they're the minority when we talk about world population.
But like in 2020, who thinks that, you know, white is right these days? It looks like we know that melanin is the dominant gene and black people are starting to be more confident. You know, because over time, like back in the day, we were ashamed of being black because of all mm-hmm. of the mass marketing that America did to make us feel inferior. Mm-hmm. You feel me? So I don't know how white folks going to dominate the gene pool, like, you know, because
they going to try. They going to do their best.
Black people need to. Well, I guess actually they going to be able to do it because of the ways in which black people view black men, specifically view black women.
Bingo.
I read somewhere that supposedly black women and Asian men are in the lowest marrying pool. And I was like, what the fuck? But it makes kind of like sense. Like Asian women viewed as like, you know, exotic or, you know, and then black women. You know, if we talk about black men being incarcerated, gang violence killing black men being killed by the police, you know, what I could see why the numbers for black women are skewed. Like, mm-hmm. you know, especially if we have these stereotypes about black women and they view us as so abrasive or, you know, non like welcoming or, you know, just got attitudes all the time. Like, so black people, we need to keep it tight. You feel me?
Straight up. I mean,
but hey, you know, like keep it tight, meaning like not viewing white as being right all the time. You know what I'm saying? Like dark skinned babies are beautiful. You know what I'm saying? We don't need to, like, you know, black men, if you're successful, you know, maybe making more conscious decisions of your mate, you feel me, and keeping that money like in the
That's
line.
The problem though, is because that they got their check mm-hmm. from a white man. Right, that's how they get their fit. That's how they eat now.
Right,
just give us nothing. That's fine. Let's just keep it 100. The only people that are really, really, truly successful mm-hmm. outside of the businessmen and stuff like that, but just the nigga off the side of the corner, they're ball players, rappers, all that, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And a white man cut their check, mm-hmm. period. They look at Nick Cannon's situation now. You see he getting canceled right now. He in the middle of it right now because a white man was cutting his check. Now, if he said that on a nigga program and a nigga was cutting his check, you think he'd be canceled right now? He'd be on America's Got Talent and everything. You hear me? Fuck Terry Crews, by the way.
That's what exactly. So, you know, it's not to say that, you know, you want to go around just disrespecting folks. But if you do have your own autonomy, that's why I do what I do. You feel me? Goes back to Francis Cress Welsing. Like, you know, I'm already viewing. I'm, you know, went to college in a small white town. I went to the universities. I was in the white space. I already know about the whole microaggressions, all the bullshit. Let's go do these diversity and inclusion workshops, you know, blah, blah, blah. I don't got time for that, period. You feel me? So what I'm going to do is, you know, what can I do in life as a black woman to have the most extreme autonomy in whatever I do so I ain't got to answer to no, I ain't got to answer no questions. Like, I don't got time to follow company policies or whatever. Not saying that, not saying that the, you know, like I said, we out here being reckless, but as black people, a lot of times white companies don't align with who you are as a black person anyways. I digress.
They just, you know, oh, please don't. Oh, please don't. Don't okay. do that.
So we got to wrap up soon, yep. but I just want to make sure that we talk, you know, a little bit more about public statement apparel and kind of like what are some of the pieces that, you know, your brand, you know, are creating.
So public statement apparel is just that. I'm just making a black man making a public statement. So my brand or my apparel has different things on it. All of it has some type of statement on it. For instance, my wife has on the Phenomenal Woman tank top on right now. That is a famous poem by Maya Angelou. I have on what they call a Black King hoodie on the back. It's got a big lion with a crown on it on the side. Mm-hmm. What does this one say on the side? 100% pro-black, I ain't explaining shit. If that's not a statement, I don't know what is. You hear me? I just gave you the Black Queen hoodie. That yeah. Part. I got stuff that says hashtag FTP, FDT, oh, and fuck Karen too. So I also have stuff that says United We Stand, Together We March. So mm-hmm. I go from the far conservative to the far abrasive, yeah?
Yeah.
So in anywhere in between, the beautiful thing about it is that I'm only one man. Mm-hmm. I'm only one man that can make only so many public statements. My thing, and what I was talking about with you earlier, mm-hmm. was investing in my young entrepreneurs, my young people of color entrepreneurs, yeah? Mm-hmm. So what I'm trying to do is employ them to say, hey, what's your statement as you 16, 17, 18, 19 years old?
Right.
What are you experiencing? Because your experience isn't my experience, right? So what is your public statement? Because I'm pretty sure you have something snazzy to say on a shirt that'll go viral, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's go ahead and let's design it together. You don't have to spend any money. I don't want you to spend a dime.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go ahead and invest in you. I'll produce the shirt, everything. I'll ship it, everything. I'm going to put it on my website so I have a platform. A lot of young entrepreneurs don't have any resources. They have great ideas, but no resources to make shit happen.
Right.
So I want to go ahead and give them that platform and say, hey, I want to put your shirt on my site. And for every shirt that is sold, I want to give you a $5 to $10 royalty based off the sale of the cost of the shirt. So if you sell 1,000 shirts at $10 a piece, it's $10,000. I'm pretty sure you can do something with that. Right, that's awesome, girl?
That part. So look, that's an amazing idea. And I definitely think that that's a motto that definitely is going to lead to empowering a lot of black people locally. In terms of sustainability as black people, excuse me, in terms of sustainability, you know, like we want to do business. Sometimes we need funding to sustain our business. You know, there's a lot of money that's been flowing around, you know, with all of the black people that have been murdered this year. You know, a lot of GoFundMes that have been created, jail funds, you know, things
Ooh,
like that.
That's the worst one. Oh, my God. Get me started about that.
But in reality, if we're talking about empowering black people, we need to make sure that money is getting specifically to black hands so that they can sustain themselves and sustain what they're doing. You know, so if someone wanted to, you know, heard this podcast episode and was like, man, I want to, you know, help sustain what, you know, Eric at Public Statement Apparel has going on, what would be some of the best ways for people to reach out to you?
The best way you could reach out to me is on Instagram at Public Statement Apparel. I have publicstatementapparel.com. I have a YouTube video called This Is Eric, E-R-I-K. That basically just shows my stance and what I stand for, and basically the beginning story of how I started Public Statement Apparel. So I have a few different avenues that you can reach me. Of course, if you're anywhere in downtown or anywhere in LA, y'all can just find me, man. I swear to God, I let y'all know where I'm at, when I'm going to be there, all that good stuff. I do not hide, and you can get in the DMs. I talk back.
Definitely. One last question. Sure. What would you say drives you most in life?
What drives me?
Yes.
My wife. My wife is my rock. She's my source. She's what makes it go, what makes me go. I mean, when I say I can't do it no more, she says, you can go just a little bit more, baby. Mm. That's what she does. So that's my soulmate. That's my everything. If I, without her, there is no me. Straight up. Straight up. So that's really it. That's my wife is it for me.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, shout out to Wifey. Eric, thanks again for your time. Make sure you guys follow Eric on Instagram. Tap in with him at his website. And you better dig in your motherfucking pockets and start buying.
Amen.
Black.
Amen. Y'all better dig in them pockets and start buying black round this bitch. This is just another PSA brought to you by Public Statement Apparel.
Definitely. Hey, you need to put that on a shirt ASAP.
Like this episode?
Leave a review and stay up to date on new episodes by subscribing to Sloss and Girl Speaks. And follow Sloss and Girl on Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook.